Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. I want to thank you for listening to this podcast from Connecting Faith. There are many more podcasts available at our website, myfaithradio.com. And your support makes this possible.
Real conversations about how we live out our faith every day. Welcome to Connecting Faith.
To become a Christian is neither convenient nor comfortable. So writes Rico Tice in his new book, Honest Evangelism, How to Talk About Jesus Even When It's Tough. So what do you think, Ted? Does that ring true for you?
Yeah, oh, certainly. I've been in situations where both apply.
Yes.
And you're praying and going, okay, God, use me somehow or deliver me from the situation.
Yeah. Becoming a Christian has its own challenges, but certainly sharing our faith has as many, and I certainly have been in experiences like that as well, where it was uncomfortable and not convenient to talk about faith, so I didn't. And we're going to address how to overcome that today on the program. I encourage you to stay tuned. It's going to be a good conversation. I'm Neil Stavem, by the way. It's Ted Ross and Carissa Rogers. We're all here waiting for a good conversation with Rico Tice, who has written this new book called Honest Evangelism, How to Talk About Jesus Even When It's Tough. And interestingly, just yesterday, Lifeway Research released a new study addressing the question, which are you more comfortable talking about with others? 41% said my spiritual views. 59% said my political views.
Wow.
Yeah. 6 in 10 Americans are more comfortable talking about politics and their spiritual beliefs. But by contrast, evangelical Christians prefer talking about God over politics by a 2-to-1 margin.
Okay, but, so people would rather discuss all that mess instead of faith.
Or something, instead of the hope of faith. And they did a follow-up question. And these were, it was 1,000 Americans, so not all evangelicals, a cross-section. But how concerned are you about the people in your neighborhood who have different spiritual beliefs than you? 70% not concerned at all.
Wow. You know, and I heard this morning a startling statistic that Carmen LeBurge shared on with Dr. Bill Meyer Live about how 25% of the population claims no faith. Yeah. And you think about that, and wow, the opportunity, and I mean, the fields are ripe for harvest, right, as the word says.
Well, hostility and hunger, that's the response to the message of Jesus, and we'll talk about it in a minute with Rico Tice. Stay tuned for that. But in the meantime, John Stone Street has a word from the Pope.
You young couch potatoes. For the Colson Center for Christian Worldview, I'm John Stone Street with The Point. I'll be honest, I've struggled to understand many things Pope Francis says, but I must also say, in light of all the churches scrambling to make their sacred spaces into Pokemon Go stops, what he said in Poland recently is refreshing. Dear young people, he told thousands gathered for World Youth Day, we did not come into the world to vegetate. We came for another reason, to leave a mark. The times we live in do not call for couch potatoes, but for young people with boots laced. In other words, what the Pope is telling young people, the world needs you. Put down the video games, turn off the screens, grow up, go out and do something, especially show people the love of Christ. And look, the Pope is absolutely hitting the right note here. And all my years teaching at Summit Ministries, I know that teens and college kids, they want to be challenged and they want to make a difference. Sometimes, some of them just need a little more encouragement than others. I'm John Stone Street.
This is Connecting Faith, and we're connecting now across the pond with Rico Tice, senior minister at All Souls Church in Langham Place, London. He's a passionate evangelist, spent years developing the Christianity Explored course, which has gone on to introduce thousands of people around the world to the person of Jesus Christ. Rico continues to be a regular speaker at missions and evangelistic events around the world, and is co-author of several books and tracts and resources, including the one we referenced today, Honest Evangelism, How to Talk About Jesus Even Though It's Tough. And Rico, welcome. You acknowledge that sharing our faith is hard. So why is that the case?
Well, certainly in England, I can't speak of the states. In England, the vast majority of people like to see themselves as owners in God's world and not tenants. And when you say no, each breath we get is a gift. That immediately is a point of conflict. Although for some people, actually, in whom the Spirit is working, there's real hunger. So as you try and find the hunger, you risk the hostility. But what I'm trying to say to the church family and to Christians in Britain is you can't get one without risking the other. We are saying to people, it's God's world. He made you. He sent his son so we could meet him. His son had to die because we have offended God in his world, and it's so serious there's a place called hell. Now, for some, that's profoundly offensive to some, but to others, it's the word of life. And I think people are sort of thinking, I can have the hunger without risking the hostility, and you just can't.
There seems to be plenty of interest in spiritual things, right, being spiritual, but when we actually talk about faith in Jesus, that narrows it down considerably, doesn't it?
Well, it does, because here's the mantra even in the churches in Britain. It's, my faith is a personal, private thing. It helps me in my life. I wouldn't dream of imposing it on someone else. But what we're saying is, because Christ has risen from the dead, the future belongs to him. And therefore, as we speak of Jesus, yes, we're speaking of someone who has authority over you, and by his resurrection that's declared. Now, again, you won't say that unless you believe in the Holy Spirit. So as I say that, I'm trusting that the Holy Spirit will convict people it's true. And even some people who are immediately hostile later on may well become hungry. But I've got to take that risk.
You say following Jesus means change. We must refuse to downplay those words. Maybe just say a bit more about that.
Well, change is a wonderful thing. Repentance is a wonderful thing, because it means you say, I'm now for what Jesus is for, and I'm against what he's against. But that does mean, in an age of individualism, that we're saying to people, no, Jesus knows best. But knowing that he knows best means and knowing that he knows best means that you've got to change, metanoia, repentance. So I've got to go his way, and that's going to be painful in a culture that is going in a different direction and can't stand to be corrected. So again, it is conflict. So I basically keep saying to people, look, Jesus said, I send you out as sheep among wolves, and we're going to get a bit torn. And if we don't warn people of this, what happens is they just aren't going to speak about Jesus, or they're going to make sure they say things with, let me use a fancy word, the culture of their human hermeneutic. They're going to only say what they know the culture will applaud. And there are things that Jesus does the culture does applaud. So, for example, Jesus says, love your enemies. Now, in Britain, people know that's important. But they'll only say the things that he'll applaud, and actually that will be applauded. And, we're not at that point. We're at a point where we're saying, no, there's lots of stuff Jesus says that confronts us, particularly this call to change.
Well, you talk about, sort of sum it up with the word, the pain line. Say a bit about that, and then we'll have you maybe tell your story as you go along as well.
Well, again, in the States, I don't know how much you – do people get butterflies in their stomach because they're nervous about things?
Oh, I think so, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, and actually, as we know, we're going to sometimes say things. It's not just a butterfly. It's an eagle in our stomach. I mean, but we have to learn from the persecuted church who say things without fear of consequence. They say, we say these things because they're true, not because we're afraid of what's going to happen to us. And I say to people, look, when you're asking people a question, you could hit this hostility. It could be difficult. Now, basically, I then say, look, shake the dust off your feet. If they say nothing, you say nothing. If they say something, you keep asking questions. But realize that it's going to be tricky, because you are telling someone underneath it all, you're not actually the owner in this world. You're a tenant. And that is profoundly controversial.
Well, Rico,
the pain line is the nervousness you feel, but sometimes that nervousness means people go, well, I'm not going to say anything. But you go, no, the nervousness is appropriate. It is conflict, but it doesn't mean you don't say it graciously, calmly, but you say it.
Well, we'll talk more about how we do that in the moments ahead as we talk honest evangelism with Rico Tice. Rico, just before we take a break, say a bit about your story. You grew up in or born in Chile. Educated in England, worked in an inner-city community, I think, as well.
Yeah,
so tell us a bit about how you came to faith.
I'm from a non-Christian family. My parents were lovely, but they weren't Christian. My dad, tobacco, he was in BAT, British American Tobacco, and was growing tobacco in Chile and then in Africa, went to a mission school. And years later, I think the prayers of those missionaries were answered as I was at school in England. And my godfather was killed in a cliff fall. So on the 6th of August, 1982, he was killed in a cliff fall. And no one in my family had any answer to his death. Suddenly a loved one had died. And a maths teacher said to me, "Listen, when Christ rose from the dead, he rose to get you through death." And I remember thinking as a 16-year-old, if that's true, it's the most important thing in the world. So that really was the testimony. It was a teacher at school who told me of the risen Christ in the face of the death of a loved one.
When you became a Christ follower, you became an evangelist right away, didn't you?
Well, I think when you come from a family of people who don't know Christ and who are dying without hope, that is an immediate response, because the people you love most don't have this hope. And I'd seen that particularly with my godfather. So, yeah, that meant that I think pretty quickly I thought this is absolutely crucial people hear about it. And then, of course, this news that was wonderful to me, I suddenly found was not so wonderful to most of my contemporaries. Some came to faith, but many of them who were just getting into premarital sex and that sort of stuff, 16-year-olds at a boarding school, it was not the message they wanted at all. So I got a very rude awakening as I suddenly thought, gosh, this is massive conflict. That's what I learned. So it was a great joy to get the message out, but also it was isolating.
Rico has spent a number of years, though, learning and growing and how to effectively share faith and how to do it honestly. And that is what our conversation is about today. We're talking honest evangelism, how to talk about Jesus even when it's tough. And talking to Rico Tice, a senior minister of evangelism at All Souls Church in Langham Place, London. And joining us today, he's written a number of books and tracts and has helped many people understand what it means to be a follower of Christ. We'll talk more with Rico in just a moment. I'd love to have you join the conversation, too. If you have a question, we have a few minutes with Rico today, and you're welcome to come on board at 877-93-FAITH. That's 877-933-2484. More with Rico Tice in just a moment. Talking about sharing what Christ has done for us and inviting others to consider the claims of Jesus that we are tenants, not owners, and getting some great insight from Rico Tice today. Rico is a senior minister at All Souls Church in Langham Place, London, and he is the founder of Christianity Explored Ministries, internationally renowned speaker, author of the new book, Honest Evangelism, How to Talk About Jesus Even When It's Tough. And Rico, maybe before we talk more about some of those ways that we can more effectively communicate Christ, you spent some time in the book helping us get a clearer picture of why it's worth the cost to share our faith. And I think we need to just review that a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, look, the amazing thing is that we have eternity. And we know that it's true because Christ rose from the dead. And therefore, as I communicate this to someone and they put their trust in Christ, they will forever be back here in the new creation without sin or pain. I mean, it's not just a joy to follow Christ now because his laws are so good and they're foundations for my life, not fences that hem me in, and because I have the wonder of his Spirit indwelling me. It's that there is this future hope that is sure because he rose. And it means that, I don't have to be a materialist, for example, because I'm going to inherit it all then. So as I speak to you now, I speak in a little two-bedroom flat in London. We've got three kids. It's very tiny and very cramped, but it's fine. But, fundamentally, because we're pilgrims in this world, we're going to the next one. But we know we've got this future. So, there are so many reasons why, but that's a huge one, this future we've got. And if we turn our back on God, he is a God of justice. So again, another reason why is because Jesus speaks again and again of a place called hell. He's the most loving man that ever lived, and yet he tells us that he had to come to save us from hell through the cross for heaven. And hell is a place of darkness, of punishment, of torment, where we pay for our sin ourselves. So all these reasons that are at the heart of the gospel means that if I love people, I want to be speaking.
You, in fact, you say that we're often reluctant because we may have an idol problem in terms of speaking about hell. Say a little bit more about that.
Well, absolutely. In London over the last 10 years, that has been what has emerged. You know, why is it the church family, time and again, members of the church family were just not active in sharing their faith? The reason was good things have become God things. So things like the career, the children's education, the flat in the right place, my physical health, they're all good things, my friends, they're all good, but they can become God. And therefore, my heart goes after those things. Actually, we've done a new course, Life Explored, which really tries to help people see what idolatry does to me, why I've got to have at the center of my life the greatest gift I can have is God himself, because if I try and cause his gifts to be at the center, they'll end up devouring me. So that we've certainly found in London is a huge reason people don't speak. Their hearts are captured by other things.
Well, let's talk about some of the basic things that we must remember when we want to share faith. And I'll just give you a chance to kind of go through some of those things as we want to do Life Explored.
Sure. Well, I think number one is the basic thing is celebrate people. First of all, God has sovereignly, in Acts 17, put the people around us that are there. So my next-door neighbor, my work colleague, they're not there by chance. They're there because the creator of the world has put them there, and they're there to be reached, Acts 17, 26, 27. So once I believe that, that gives me great confidence getting to know them. And I am the most important person they can know because I'm the one who knows Jesus. But the first thing to do is celebrate them. So this morning my sons were doing some planting outside with some neighbors who aren't Christian people. And you just celebrate being part of their lives and then being in our lives. They're both in their late 70s, early 80s. And, you know, just let's celebrate. Let's enjoy people. And we do that by asking questions. Find out about them. The guy next door loves his motor racing. You know, find out. I've become a little bit of a petrol head myself just because I'm asking questions. But secondly, serve them. What's their biggest pressure? What are the pressures in their lives? And you do that again by making sure you have time to stop and ask questions. Time and again, our schedules don't give us that leeway to stop and just, you know, just what's happening in their lives and how can we pray for them? But also, how can we serve? So we draw people into our homeless work at All Souls. We have 300 or 400 volunteers serving the homeless in London once a month, and we say, can you help us? Doesn't matter where you stand, help us. But then thirdly, well, the third issue is the pain line issue, is ask the tough question as you get to know them. Well, the easiest ask in England that is a pain line but is the easiest one to cross is, do you celebrate Christmas? You know, ask them along to a Christmas carol service. That's what we tend to do here. But as you find out about their life, you know, ask questions that may be more difficult. There's a girl on my street with a very bad back, and I say, hey, Linz, what happens if the back doesn't get better? What are you going to do then? Because I'm trying to help her draw out a contrast between Christian contentment that's internal and human happiness that is all about externals. And I'm saying, look, in Christ you can find that contentment. So, look, that's a pain line as we're getting there. But then fourthly, exit. So if they say nothing in England, we go all sullen and say nothing in England, in the English, then you say nothing. But if they talk, you go on asking questions. So those are my four things I keep trying to say to the church family. Celebrate people, serve them, ask the tough question, and exit. If they shut up, you shut up.
Well, you also, I mean, you've kind of divided things up in sort of little three-word ways for us to remember, maybe just about, you know, what the gospel is and then about, you know, how we communicate it. So maybe just review those as well.
Yeah, well, the three words that I'm always saying about when we get to Jesus that we're asking people is identity, who do you think he is? You know, as you look at Jesus, who do we have here? Can you see he's not just a man, he's God? Let's ask people who they think Jesus is. Secondly, mission. Why did he come? Have you understood the cross? He came to rescue us. It's not just a Galilean carpenter dying. He's dying for me in my place. And then thirdly, call. What does it mean to follow him? So as I follow Jesus, I take up my cross. What does it mean to obey him? What do I have to turn my back on? How do I find the wonder of the gift of the Spirit who gives me strength to obey? So those three things, identity, mission, call, I always say are central as we seek to start talking about Jesus.
You know, one of the things that caught my attention, you said the days of going from zero to gospel in a single conversation are not the norm. Talk about, you know, the time it takes to really develop a relationship with someone.
Well, that, I think that is huge, and it really is about praying for your street. I mean, I've got my Bible in a year. I never get through it in a year, but I have it there at the back. I've got the names of the people on the street, and you know, it's getting to know them. It's building that relationship. It's crossing the pain line and asking them stuff. But certainly in Britain, where people are no longer the Christian faith is no longer in the air that we breathe, it is taking a lot longer to build that trust, to get them along to church. And I suppose the big issue is this is the question: would you like to look at the Bible with me? So it's saying, would you open the Bible and have a look at it with me? I was doing that today with a guy, and you know, it's getting the Bible open and saying, let's look at that together. But you know, when you say to someone, do you want to look at the Bible with me, they can say yes or no, and you know, on you go. But if they say yes, you get it open. And I always say to people, I'm not the teacher. The Bible's the teacher. Let me ask some questions that let that happen. And I certainly, in the church in England, the silver bullet over the next 20 years is the degree to which we will get the Bible open with our neighbors.
Mm. Well, you're speaking of the church. I know that you talk about, you know, this is not something that we just do individually, even though you help us with how we can have those conversations. But we need the church with us, too, don't we?
Oh, brother, it's massive, that. It's a massive issue that we have people we pray for and that pray for us, little groups. And you know, as we say, well, look, here's someone I'd like to ask to look at the Bible with me. Please pray as I go and speak to him. Pray that I'll ask the question. So there's a little bit of accountability, but just support, because it is tough. And we need people to put their arms around us as we go out. So that issue of no longer being a lone evangelist, but very much going from the church family to people and then drawing them back to the church family, saying, you know, come to church. Come and meet the little group. Come and join the Life Explored group, where we watch a film about idolatry and then say, what did you think about it? That issue of going out and coming back is so crucial. And in fact, often with evangelists, I say to people, look, the question is not, do you love the gospel? I know you do. Or do you love evangelism? I know you find it thrilling. The question is, do you love your local church? And often I find that's the diagnostic question to where people are in terms of keeping going with their evangelism.
Rico, our time is gone. We've just got a minute left. Is there a way that people want to find out more, maybe about the Life Explored course, which is just coming out, or other resources that you have? What do you recommend?
I think if they can go to the ChristianityExplored.org website, just put that in. That will give you everything you need to know. And the Life Explored course, which is launched with the Good Book Company. So that's the other thing to look up. Where in the States, it's coming out with the Good Book Company. That comes out on the 1st of September. And we'd love people to look at that stuff on idolatry. We then do a bit of an overview of the Bible alongside the idols. So it's the idols and the Bible overview. We would love that to be of help as the sort of modern generation sees these things that are tangling them up, and hopefully can see Christ has got to be at the center. He's got to be the one that we most enjoy.
Rico Tice, blessings to you. Talking about honest evangelism, how to talk about Jesus even though it's tough. Rico is senior minister at All Souls Church London, and you can find out more on the website Christianity Explored. And we've got more to come here on Connecting Faith, so stay tuned. Others to see Christ in us, but what we need as much as anything is to see a clear vision of who Christ is. And for that, we want to bring in a good friend on Connecting Faith. He's known as a proclaimer of Christ and messenger of hope, David Bryant, the founder and president of Proclaim Hope. And it's an outreach whose goal is to serve a nationwide Christ awakening. He's author of many books, including Christ is All. And David and Robin have been serving Christ together for over 40 years. Their most important ministry remains centered on their three children and their spouses and four grandchildren. And we wanted to connect with David today because he was part of the gathering in the Washington Mall here just a couple of weeks ago, and they have estimates maybe as high as 500,000 people, primarily young people, gathered at this event. We talked about it with Nick Hall some time ago and just wanted to get a report on what that was like, what happened there. So, David, welcome back to Connecting Faith. Good to talk to you.
Yes, Neil. Nice to be with you as well. And it was a most amazing experience. You know, about 20 years ago, I was involved in a similar event, which was called Stand in the Gap, where we had about 1.5 million men gathered on another part of the mall, which we couldn't use this time because they're planting new grass all through that section. But it was very similar, and yet in some ways even more dynamic, though we didn't have as many, 500,000, 400,000, whatever the exact estimate was. Yet there was a potency there because of the youth element, maybe that more than anything else. We were gathered around the Washington Monument and sort of moved toward D.C., moving toward the Lincoln Memorial rather than toward the Capitol building. But I think the thing that, you know, there's so many different ways of looking at this. It took 5 years of planning, so that's pretty significant. On the other side, Neil, it stopped 5 hours short of when it was supposed to end. Hmm. Now, when people say, well, why was that? Why did the 12-hour event stop after 7 hours? Well, because it was one of the hottest days on record in Washington, D.C., and many were going to the first aid tents, and finally the Park Service, which was really in charge of everything, came and said, listen, we just can't let this go on any longer. Some people are actually going to the hospital. I think there were about 500, they said, eventually, who needed medical attention. But now the reason I share that isn't because that's the reason we stopped at 7 hours rather than 12. It's because that during those 7 hours, Neil, I walked around. I witnessed this with my own eyes in many parts of the crowd. During those 7 hours, these young people, 35 to down to 18, they were all in that age group. They stood through the entire time with all of that beating heat and sun and humidity. They didn't sit down. They didn't run for the shade. They stood during times of worship, during times of prayer and repentance, during short messages from the platform, whatever was going on. It was like their passion for the glory of Christ was so strong that despite all of the obstacles, they just could not sit down. And, you know, I looked at that, Neil, and I thought, this isn't starting here on the mall today. That's what was going on in the hearts of all these young people from all over the nation before they ever got there. This was a sort of an inside look for me at what God's already doing in the church all across this land in this coming generation. And he is putting in them a passion for the Lord Jesus Christ that puts many of the older ones of us to shame. And it was just sort of manifested in a very dramatic way during those 7 hours on the mall.
Oh, David, I know you've been a part of many national prayer events, and as you say, this is really unprecedented. But it must be encouraging to look at this and say this is the future of the church.
Well, this isn't, you know, sometimes people, as you know, Neil, I've been working with both nationally and internationally with prayer movements, national prayer movements, to seek God for revival in the church. And people often say, well, where are all the answers? We've been praying a long time. And I often say, it's out there. And the way I answer anymore in the last few years is, it's sitting in your pews. God is working in the hearts of people. He is getting them ready. He is making them hungry. He is building the passion. Now, I don't know about the older generation at this moment, but boy, I can tell you from what I've seen in other places, and particularly here recently on the mall, that it is definitely going on in the younger generation. So in answer to our prayers, the Holy Spirit is getting the people ready, And there will come a tipping point, and I believe it's not far off, and I have many reasons for saying that. There will come a tipping point where what we saw for 7 hours for one day on the Mall will become a constant reality in the lives of God's people and in churches all across this nation as this Christ awakening finally comes to full bloom.
This gathering was, you know, focused primarily, I mean, as Nick Hall had said time and again, you know, there's not really agenda. It's just about Jesus, about exalting him. What right. that seems, you know, for those of us that are expecting, well, it was a conference event, so there's got to be a lot of this and a lot of that. This truly was really singular yeah. focus, wasn't it?
Right. And there was no focus on any personalities. I mean, even if a worship group came and led, like Hillsong, for example, then they came back later so that everybody would know these people aren't just coming in, doing their bit, and leaving, that they're a part of the whole event. So speakers were only allowed 10 minutes at a time. Now, they may come back in a couple hours later and get another 10 minutes. But the whole thing was built so that it was not personality-driven. It was Jesus-driven. One of the key themes was Jesus changes everything. And the reason they called a reset was to reset the direction, first of all, of the church, and then through that of the nation, to reset the direction of everything back toward Christ himself. I have been in too many large gatherings of evangelicals around the world to even begin to count, but I don't think I have ever been in any single event of a gathering of evangelical Christians where I heard the name of Jesus mentioned, proclaimed, celebrated, exalted. In fact, I said it was probably every 2 or 3 minutes on average, Jesus was spoken and exalted in some new way all through those 7 hours. And I've been in events other places where you can go a whole hour sometimes and never hear Jesus mentioned at all. A lot of other biblical issues are raised, but it never keeps coming back to Jesus. But boy, in this situation, and it was Jesus as King and Jesus as Supreme. It was Jesus as exalted. In fact, let me just tell you how the event ended, the last 5 minutes. This is so cool. Their theme online before the event took place, if you went online, you would see a theme, Fill the Mall. And so the idea was to do what we came pretty close to doing, and that is filling that whole area with people in worship for all of those hours. But in the last 5 minutes of the event itself, on these huge jumbotrons scattered all over the field so everybody could follow the words and see the speakers and all of that, on the huge jumbotrons came the words, Fill the Mall. But then as you watched, the M on mall moved up to the T-H-E of V, and suddenly it didn't say fill the mall, it says fill them all. And then the challenge was given, and Nick was the one that gave this. The challenge was given. Listen, he said, this was never a day about getting to the mall. This was a day about getting sent from the mall. And what we want you to do now is take everything we've been saying and singing and seeing and praying about the Lord Jesus. And now you go back to all the places from which you've come, and you fill many others with this same vision, with this same message. Go from the mall to fill them all. And I thought, my, if we on a Sunday morning, you know, would say fill the hall or fill the worship sanctuary, whatever, we're going to fill it with our people in order that we might go out of there the rest of the week to fill everybody else with more of Christ. Why, this whole nation would not look the same in a very short order.
Well, David, I know that's been your heart and passion for years, to see a God-given awakening to the full extent of the supremacy of God's Son, so as to revitalize
right.
Christians everywhere to serve his kingdom purposes with renewed hope and passion. Just say more about what does it mean when we declare that Christ is all? Help us to understand more about the supremacy of God's Son. Why is it so important that we lift up the name of Jesus?
If you give me 1 minute.
Sure.
I just shared this with about 200 pastors just a few weeks ago, and some of them came to me afterwards and said, after years of being in ministry, I feel like I've never known Jesus before, which really, breaks your heart, our Jesus is so small for most of us. So I'm right now, as you caught me, I'm in the middle today of working on the final parts of a new book called Christ Is Now. And in it, I'm looking at these seven dimensions of what it means to say Christ is all. Number one, who Christ is to us, his personhood, his nature, his divinity, and so on. Who Christ is for us, that is, his incarnation, his crucifixion, resurrection, ascension. Who Christ is over us, that is, how he rules over creation, over the nations, over the leaders of the nations, over the peoples of the earth, over the powers of darkness, over the building of the church. Who Christ is before us as he goes ahead of us into the future to bring it back to us, into the heavens to take us there with him, into the promises of God to make them ours, into the world to open up a way for us to serve. Who Christ is within us as he dwells and works inside my life and in our life together, reigning among us. Who Christ is through us as he ministers through us individually and corporately to bring his life in order to fill them all. And finally, who Christ is upon us as he comes upon his people to deepen and enrich and empower us in new ways that we've never experienced before. Sometimes we call that revival, and how he will one day come upon the whole creation when he returns in victorious triumph. Now, those seven prepositions, who Christ is to us, for us, over us, before us, within us, through us, and upon us. That's what this book's all about. But that's what I mean, and that's what I think the Bible means when it says Christ is all. He is all of those things. And most times when I break that up for people, maybe to spend 30 minutes just teaching on those seven prepositions, the response will be, in one way or another, my, I don't think I ever knew Jesus before. I didn't realize how much there was about him. And so I think the Christ awakening that's coming, Neil, is how the Holy Spirit is going to bring a multitude of God's people alive to a much greater vision of who Jesus is right now. Not who he was, not who he will be, but who he is right now. And that vision will be so compelling, we will not be able to help ourselves. We will begin to move out as an army with the gospel like never before. And that's what's going to transform this. That is the hope of this nation. It's not in an elephant, and it's not in a donkey. It's in a lamb that was slain, who's sitting on the throne of the universe. That's where the hope of America lies.
Amen. David, I'm going to ask you to pray in just a minute, but just say a word about the resources available at what, ChristNow.com. Is that a good website?
This is a new website that has been put together by many streams of the church. This isn't a part of, doesn't belong to my ministry, which is Proclaim Hope. This website is just very simple to remember, ChristNow.com. There's never been anything like it in the history of the church. It pulls together resources of all kinds, video, training materials, books, I mean, on and on. You can't believe until you get there all that's waiting for you to enrich your life in Christ, your vision of Christ, your passion for Christ. It's all free. And so I would just urge anyone, and if you get on the blog, for example, if you go on to the click onto the blog and just scale down about four or five blogs, you could actually read my blog about the event on Washington, D.C. Mall. There are many leaders who contribute blogs, but I, about 2 weeks ago, wrote one about what happened on the mall, and you get a little better vision of what happened there. But yes, nothing like it ever in the history of the church. ChristNow.com. You got to check it out.
David Bryant, formerly a pastor, minister-at-large with the University Christian Fellowship. He was president of Concert to Prayer International and chairman of America's National Prayer Committee. He is the president, founder and president of Proclaim Hope, and he has a passion to proclaim Christ and offer hope to us today, and he's done that with his report on the events in the Washington Mall. And David, before we wrap up, would you just close us in prayer that we might see and savor who Jesus really is?
Father, we are in desperate need of you to answer the prayer that Paul prayed for the Ephesians, that I now pray for everyone listening, joining with us in this prayer, as he prays in Ephesians 1, that you, by your Spirit, would give us a whole new way of knowing you. Give us new eyes in our hearts to see the Lord Jesus for all that he is. Give us an ability to comprehend the hope that he has put before us, to comprehend the depths of the resources he has placed within us as the saints. But above all, would you give us new eyes to see that the power that raised him from the dead and seated him above every name that is named, both in this age and in all ages to come, that that power is at work. That resurrection, ascension power is at work in each of our lives individually and in our church together, in order that, as Paul ends that prayer, we might experience the fullness of Jesus who fills all in all. Father, if you answer that prayer, then we will have revival, and it will not stop. And so we ask it boldly, according to your word, and for the sake of your Son. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, David. Connecting Faith. So glad to have you tuned in today. Spent some time talking to Rico Tice from London about honest evangelism and got a report on Together 2016 from David Bryant from Proclaim Hope. And it's the time in the program where we like to just talk about takeaways. Ted, what are you thinking about at the moment?
I just love how Rico talked about getting to know the interests of your neighbors, mm-hmm. those around you, people in your life that God has put in your life, and really taking a genuine interest, even though you might not be interested in what they're interested in. That can be such an open door for conversation that can lead to deeper things down the road.
Yeah, and to know that we might be the only person that Jesus meets, and just how, you know, that was really encouraging, a good reminder for me, and to just know that another thing that Rico was talking about is just like how when you're sharing the truth that we can't sugarcoat it, the truth, it cuts like a knife. You know, it's convicting, but Jesus, you know, that's how our response as Christians should be, to share that truth, mm-hmm. and yeah. In order for people to get as close to Jesus as possible.
You know, God puts people in our path. We can celebrate people and know that, you know, we're the ones that, you know, God has placed them there so that we can share the gospel with them. So number one, celebrate people. Number two, serve them. Number three, be willing to ask the tough questions. And then number four, exit, you know,
yeah.
or go forward.
Something else that has helped me too, I can't remember who said it, but it's encouraging us to look at people the way, and see people with the eyes the way God sees them. So if there's somebody's quirks that bug you or whatever, just try and see them the way God sees them. He loves them too.
Good. And, you know, I also enjoy the Cover the Earth song here after David Bryant. I mean, every time I talk to David Bryant, I'm just more challenged than ever. Mm-hmm. I mean, just to, we need to look up and see who Jesus really is.
That's right.
Seated on throne, high and lifted up. Well, coming up, we want to take just a minute to share a bit more about sharing faith. And, you know, we all kind of maybe struggle to find our way. And Rico, in his book, Honest Evangelism, says, you know, don't try to be somebody you're not. I mean, you know, you could be like Peter. He was sort of abrupt and aggressive. Or Paul, he was more thoughtful. Or, you know, maybe you can be like the blind man, you know, in John chapter 9. He says, I don't know. I was blind. Now I can see. You know, you tell your story the way you can tell your story. And Bill Hybels, who's senior pastor of Willow Creek Community Church, has been 40 years in ministry there, was asked, well, when you only have a couple minutes to share the gospel, what do you say? And he gives an example.
When I only have a few minutes time and someone wants to know what's at the heart of the Christian message, I usually say that religion is spelled D-O. Religion, now, what people do to try to impress God, most religions are built on that word do. It's doing good. It's trying to measure up to a standard. It's trying to impress a God that you know you've disappointed in some way. And the difference between religion and Christianity is the key word in Christianity is done, D-O-N-E. It's what Christ has done for us when he went to the cross in our place. And he said, you know, there's no amount of doing that's going to impress me after the sin you've committed, but what I have done on the cross when I died for you is enough, is sufficient to cancel out your wrongdoings and make you right with God. And when people put their faith and trust in that message and in the person of Christ, they can walk around with that word done. You know, what Christ has done is enough, instead of the word do, which kind of wears you out over time.
You know, maybe that you have never come to that place where you've accepted what Christ has done for you, and you've made that personal decision to put your full confidence and trust in him. I would just encourage you today, don't put that off, just respond. And you can pray a simple prayer. Say, Lord Jesus, I recognize my need for you. I'm a sinner. I need you. I thank you for your free gift of salvation, and I receive that by faith. You could pray that prayer today. You could call this number, 888-NEED-HIM, and talk to someone about a personal relationship with Christ. There would be someone there right now that would love to talk with you about that, and we'd be honored to hear your story as well. We're about sharing faith day in and day out, but connecting faith to life here on Faith Radio.
Trust in the Lord. Haven't we all heard that before? But it doesn't always come easy, does it? Hi, I'm Steve Douglas for Making Your Life Count. Matthew Barnett has made that the theme of his ministry in the inner city of Los Angeles.
Proverbs 3:5-6 has kind of become the theme of our ministry. You know, trust the Lord with all thy heart, lean not on your own understanding. But then here's the kicker, in all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy path. And that's been a huge thing for our people because we just tell them, you know, just fall in love with Jesus, acknowledge him, and he'll take care of your path. Maybe you lost family, you've been hurt, you've been wounded. Just start acknowledging God with what you have right now and watch him direct your path. And that's the hard part, because when people lose so much, they're focused on getting back all the things they've lost. But what we try to encourage them is to get Jesus back in your life. And when you have Jesus back in your life, you have everything back.
Jesus Christ changes everything. So trust him.
Hey, a quick reminder, there's still time to join or donate to the Live Free Challenge. I'm working on went to the gym last night to work more on my goals. You can go online at myfaithradio.com and sign up today, be a part of it, myfaithradio.com. When you're there, you'll see that we're giving away a study Bible. This one is the Family Life Marriage Bible. Dennis and Barbara Rainey have put this together. This is a great resource. Love to be able to give one of these away to you. We give one away each week, so sign up for that when you go online as well at myfaithradio.com, the Family Life Marriage Bible, giving away this week.
And don't forget, our free mobile app is available for you to go to the iTunes Store for your Apple devices or Google Play on Android devices. Just search for Faith Radio Network. Take Faith Radio with you for free anywhere you go.
Speaking of free, free money advice tomorrow. The Money Couple is joining us on Connecting Faith, Scott and Bethany Palmer. They've written a new book called The Five Money Conversations to Have with Your Kids at Every Age and Stage. This will be great as you're helping your kids head back to school. And some good advice for all of us. That's tomorrow on Connecting Faith. Looking forward to seeing you then. And if you missed part of today's show, check it out online, the Connecting Faith show page at myfaithradio.com.